Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 51 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
The car did have the green light, and the pedestrian signs that tell us to walk and don't walk was showing that don't walk.
A driver who struck and killed a pedestrian in Moorhead on Saturday won't face charges.
A Pike County man is accused of stealing some expensive items.
An ethics commission will meet over a secret sexual harassment settlement in Frankfort.
A budget passed the House last week and is headed for the Senate.
Kentucky's attorney general is warning people of a new text message scam.
In sports, the semifinal round of the boys' 16th regional tournament is tonight in Moorhead.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Light rain tonight with a low around 40 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police in Moorhead report the driver of a car that struck and killed a pedestrian over the weekend won't face charges. 48-year-old Daniel Collins died Saturday morning around 6 o'clock while he was attempting to cross Flemingsburg Road near its junction with Interstate 64. Captain Kyle Callahan says security video from a nearby business shows the automobile was not speeding and Collins was crossing the highway against the Do Not Walk light. A police officer traveling behind the automobile that hit Collins also saw what happened. Callahan adds that authorities are waiting for a toxicology report to determine if alcohol was a factor in the mishap.
Not the driver, and I tried to make it clear on TV. The driver was not intoxicated. He was clear. I think he did everything. You know, he was doing everything right, and I think just Mr. Collins just walked right out in front of him.
The driver of the car suffered minor injuries during the incident and was taken to St. Clair Regional Medical Center for treatment.
A Pike County man is accused of stealing several thousand dollars worth of items, including 22 firearms. WSAZ reports 29-year-old James Case of Sydney turned himself in last Thursday. Pikeville police say he stole the guns, two Rolex watches, two knives, and several rare coins from at least three people since January. Case is charged with two counts of theft by unlawful taking of $10,000 or more, but less than $1 million. He also faces another charge for the theft of firearms.
Police in Lexington are searching for two suspects following an early morning shootout involving a taxi yesterday. According to WKYT, the incident happened around 1 a.m. on the 700 block of Florence Avenue. Law enforcement officials say a passenger got out of a taxi and started arguing with someone on the street. The argument escalated into a gunfight, and both suspects fled the area on foot. Nobody was hurt, but the taxi was struck several times. Officials know the identity of the passenger, but they're still searching for both shooters.
Two people were arrested and one was shot during a burglary in Laurel County. According to WYMT, 43-year-old Raymond Scott House and 42-year-old Michelle Neal are facing burglary charges. House illegally entered a garage and began to take items when he was found by a resident. A scuffle ensued and House was shot by the homeowner. He was taken to UK Medical Center and charged with robbery. Neal was later charged with complicity to commit robbery. Both will be housed in the Laurel County Detention Center.
Kentucky State Police are looking for information regarding a fatal hit-and-run in Wolfe County over the weekend. Investigators say 45-year-old Richard Gagley of Campton was struck and killed by a vehicle while walking along State Route 15 at about 8 a.m. on Saturday. No information is available on the driver of the vehicle. Anyone with any information regarding the hit-and-run is asked to call Kentucky State Police at 606-784-4127.
An 18-year-old kidnapped a pair of teen sisters at knife point in an effort to win back his ex. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
John Gaskins kidnapped his 16-year-old ex-girlfriend and her 17-year-old sister in Hardin County, threw them into the trunk of his car, and drove them to a cabin in Meade County. He then tied up the sister and took off with his ex.
I guess he in his mind, somehow he thought they would live happily ever after if they moved to Pennsylvania. I guess a disturbed young man.
The victim's father tells WLKY his daughter was able to escape the cabin and call for help. Gaskins and the 16-year-old were tracked down a short time later. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, offering a payroll and occupational tax amnesty program through March 31st. A 5% penalty and interest will be waived if delinquent taxes are paid before March 31st. Taxes not paid by the deadline may result in further penalties or legal action. More information on the Rowan County Tax Amnesty Program is available by calling the Rowan County Finance Director at 784-8505.
An ethics commission has scheduled a hearing for four Republican lawmakers who signed a secret sexual harassment settlement. The Legislative Ethics Commission will meet April 3rd at 9 a.m. The hearing is a result of an ethics complaint filed by the Democratic lawmaker against former House Speaker Jeff Hoover and GOP Representatives Jim DeCrees, Michael Meredith, and Brian Linder. All four men signed a secret sexual harassment settlement last October. Hoover has denied sexual harassment but says he sent inappropriate but consensual text messages. He resigned as speaker in January but remains in office. The commission can fine the lawmakers. It can also recommend they be removed from office, but that step would require a vote from the full House of Representatives.
The Kentucky House approved a two-year budget last week that now heads to the Senate for consideration. Some groups contend it's not getting to the root of the state's revenue problem. The two-year budget calls for a 6.25% cut for most state agencies. Roseanne Clarer with the Kentuckians for the Commonwealth believes the proposal will lead to additional cuts.
We've had 18 rounds of budget cuts over the last 10 years, and that's really starting to hurt our programs like schools and healthcare, preschools, the universities. There's a large structural deficit here.
Clara contends lawmakers should consider closing tax loopholes instead of trimming from accounts like the Kentucky Employees Health Plan. She says tax exceptions, credits, and exclusions are not helping the economy.
A state representative from Eastern Kentucky says budget talks between the House and Senate could be tense. Grayson Republican Jill York believes that could happen because the Senate doesn't like the House's plan for raising taxes on cigarettes and prescription opioids. York said those increases are necessary because they'll provide millions of badly needed dollars for education.
To be able to keep our family research centers funded, to be able to put more dollars, those big dollars than ever before, that we were able to find enough dollars to truly fund the ARC, the required payment the state should make toward the pensions plan, as well as returning the transportation dollars back to the district. Those were some very, very big needs and things that had to happen.
Senate President Robert Stivers has said the House proposed tax hikes will be a tough sell to members in his chamber.
The Kentucky House Judiciary Committee heard testimony today on behalf of a bill that would legalize medical marijuana. The bill is sponsored by Democratic Representative John Sims of Flemingsburg.
This is about patients who have exhausted all their options and resources and now are begging us to pull our heads from the sand to help.
The bill would legalize the use of cannabis to treat people with debilitating conditions. It is the result of a task force created by Democratic Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes.
It's now up to the state Senate to determine whether or not cigarette and opioid tax proposals will remain a part of Kentucky's new two-year budget. According to Spectrum News' Pure Politics, the House passed its budget plan last week. The Senate will now consider possible modifications. Part of the House plan includes a 50-cent increase in cigarette tax and a new 25-cent tax on opioid prescriptions. Senate Appropriations and Revenue Chair Republican Chris McDaniel of Taylor Mill says he's unsure whether these tax proposals will stay on the budget or not.
Anytime you have taxes, there is a balancing act there. So we're going to be taking a hard look at all of the different policies, how they actually implemented it, how they spent the funds over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Senate President Robert Stivers believes there's no chance the House tax proposal will pass in the Senate as long as it's part of the proposed budget. However, Stivers believes comprehensive tax reform is possible later in the session.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is warning Kentuckians of a new text message scam. According to WSAZ, con artists are posing as law enforcement. and texting potential victims that a lawsuit and arrest warrant has been issued for them. Unless those texted make a payment within 30 minutes, the scammers claim they'll go to jail for 6 months. Residents in Greenup, Jefferson, and Montgomery counties reported losing more than $110,000 after they thought they were sending money to an official law enforcement agency. Bashir says no law enforcement office will ever send a text message to demand payment or to threaten arrest.
Kentucky Transportation Cabinet crews are doing some work on Carroll Malone Boulevard in Grayson. According to Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair, they're relocating some utilities along the busy road, which will set the stage for its eventual widening.
From the Academic Parkway there near the college, on up to the Little Sandy River Bridge, it's about a mile's worth of work to widen, add a center turn lane, add some more turn lanes, especially at US 60 intersection, one of the busiest intersections there, and just kind of improve the overall geometry of the highway, add capacity, and just improve the safety of that highway.
The widening of Carroll Malone Boulevard is considered a high priority project by the Transportation Cabinet. Its cost will be around $3.1 million. Blair says total funding for the effort must still be approved by the House and Senate in this year's General Assembly session. If that money is appropriated, the initiative is expected to begin in July of 2020.
A Maysville woman has been named a Distinguished Citizen Honoree. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Rebecca Cartmell will be recognized at the annual dinner presented by Boy Scouts of America of Buffalo Trace. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Buffalo Trace Area Scouting Spokeswoman Amanda Rourke says a committee is appointed each year to select a nominee for the award. They choose an individual who has been a positive influence in the area. Cartmell has been associated with the American Red Cross, currently serves as community volunteer leader, is one of the founding members of the Humane Society of Buffalo Trace, worked with the Mason County Animal Shelter, and is the Director of Community Care of Mason County. The Citizens Dinner will take place on March 19th at the Maysville Conference Center, beginning at 6 p.m. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Transportation officials say a bridge painting project will cause intermittent lane closures along a 10-mile stretch of Interstate 64 in eastern Kentucky. A statement from the Department of Highways says lane closures began Saturday as crews paint bridges in Bath County and will continue over the next several months. The statement says contractors will paint the west side of the bridges at mile marker 118, 120, and 129, and then paint the east sides of those spans. The $1.2 million project is expected to be completed by July 31st.
University of Kentucky officials hope they've found a way for the school's Robinson Forest to financially benefit the school while preserving it. The Lexington Herald Leader reports UK is exploring a partnership with the Nature Conservancy to implement a program that could pay UK millions for allowing the forest to offset environmental pollution elsewhere. They estimate it might make $4 million to $6 million in the program's first 5 years. Robinson Forest consists of 15,000 acres of Appalachian woodland that serves as a living laboratory for how healthy forests can impact the water and animals that run through them. Since 1923, when Tibner magnate E.O. Robinson handed over the land in parts of Breathitt, Perry, and Knott counties to UK, people have argued about whether UK should benefit from its resources. And taking a look at your weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, an 80% chance of showers tonight, mostly after 11 p.m., lows around 38 degrees. And tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy, with the high near 58. Tomorrow night, a chance of rain, cloudy, with a low around 34. On Wednesday, a chance of snow showers before noon, mostly cloudy and a high near 41 degrees. And on Wednesday night, a chance of sprinkles and flurries, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 49 degrees. In Ashland, it's 50 degrees. Winchester, 53. Inez, 52. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 51 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a new business in downtown Moorhead is focused on healthy living. WMKY's Peyton Stewart files this report.
Headstrong Nutrition held their grand opening Saturday in downtown Moorhead.
We're a nutrition club, and we specialize in healthy meal replacement protein shakes. Each shake can contain at least 25 grams of protein, 21 vitamins and minerals, keep you full about 3 to 4 hours, and we don't do a shake that's over 250 calories. So they're healthy and they taste really good. We've got an array of flavors that you can choose from. It's very hard to see the menu and not pick a flavor. Find a flavor that you like.
Rhett Hughes graduated from Rowan County High School in 2012. He has spent several years in Bowling Green attending Western Kentucky University. It was there that Hughes helped a fraternity brother open a Headstrong Nutrition business. When he saw how successful it was at Western, he wanted to bring it to Moorhead.
Basically, each category on our menu, these vanilla chocolate, wild berry, mint chocolate, cafe latte, all those, they're meal-based powders that we start the recipe from. And then we use other additives such as sugar and fat-free pudding mixes, sugar and fat-free syrups.
Hughes says it is more than just a healthy and tasty treat.
Well, really, it's the amount of minerals that are loaded into it and the fact that it's low calorie but can actually keep you full. Most protein shakes only will hold you up for about an hour, then you want to eat a big meal. These will truly keep you full for about 3 to 4 hours, really depending on your metabolism, but I'd say a solid 3 hours at the minimum.
He calls Headstrong Nutrition a health club.
It's a club in a sense that we're here for like wellness coaching. We can sit down and set up wellness plans with you if you want to reach certain health goals. We're here to help you with that. We're like the coaches in the club. So if you want to lose weight, help you put it on a plan to lose healthy weight. If you want to gain weight, help you put it on a plan to gain healthy weight, change energy levels, really just any sort of health goal that you have, we can do our best here to help you hit those goals and kind of keep it in the community.
Headstrong Nutrition is located at 170 East Main Street in Moorhead. Store hours and more information is available on the store's Facebook page. For WMKY News, I'm Peyton Stewart.
It's 4:47 and 51 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Semifinal action. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Rexton Howard. The Final Four of the boys' 16th region basketball tournament will be on the hardwood of Moorhead Johnson Arena tonight. In the 6:30 matchup, Raceland coach Bobby Trimble's upstart Rams will look to knock off 23-5 Ashland Blazer, which he knows won't be easy.
We got to do a good job guarding them, keep them off the glass, and we got to take care of the basketball, make them guard us, and you know, they're a good team, but, you know, we feel like, you know, if we take care of the basketball, we can prevent problems for them. They're going to have trouble matching up with some of the things we do.
In the 8-15 contest, 17-14 Round County meets 27-6 Boyd County. Boyd coach Randy Anderson says the Lions won't take the underdog Vikings for granted.
Coach Thacker, he is what he is, and his program is good because what he believes, he gets his kids to do that. And they've got better as the year went on, and it's home game for him.
This evening's winners will meet tomorrow at 7 at Johnson Arena for the championship game. The Boyd County girls basketball team is headed to its second straight Sweet 16. The Lady Lions punched their ticket to BB&T Arena in Highland Heights on Saturday with a tough 55-52 win over Ashland Blazer in the championship game of the 16th Region Tournament in Moorhead. Junior star Savannah Wheeler helped Boyd fend off the Kittens with a team-high 20 points.
And it's a rival game, you know. I mean, it's always been a close game with Ashland, and we just came out and proved that we were the better team.
Boyd County plays Webster County in Round 1 of the Sweet 16 on Thursday at 6:30. The new AP Top 25 poll is out. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has details.
Virginia remains the top team in the last poll of the regular season, receiving all 65 first-place votes. Villanova jumped from 4th to 2nd. Xavier, Michigan State, and Duke check in at 3, 4, and 5. Gonzaga, Michigan, Cincinnati, Kansas, and Purdue round out the top 10. Kentucky will enter the postseason play unranked for the third time under John Calipari. After losing at Florida on Saturday, Kentucky received 66 votes, but not enough to crack the poll. Florida is back, however, coming in at 23rd, while Tennessee and Auburn come in at number 13 and 16, representing the SEC. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Kentucky and Louisville basketball teams are getting ready for their respective conference postseason tournaments. Seeded fourth, UK will face the winner of the Missouri-Georgia game on Friday at 3:25 in St. Louis. Despite Saturday's loss at Florida, Coach John Calipari still believes his young Wildcats had a, quote, unbelievable regular season.
I mean, what we were up against and losing some games and then coming back and the toughest part of our schedule, we go 4-1. The toughest part of our schedule, we go 4-1 at the end of the year and looked like we figured it out, but I kept telling everybody, it's you just don't know with young kids. They'll revert in a minute. They'll revert.
As for Louisville, the 19-12 Cardinals are seeded 8th in the ACC tournament. They'll face Florida State on Wednesday at noon in Brooklyn. The Morehead State baseball team faces a big test tomorrow. After dropping 2 of 3 weekend games to Illinois State at Allen Field, Coach Mike McGuire's 6-5 Eagles are preparing to visit number 10 Louisville at 3 p.m. on Tuesday.
Obviously, Louisville's a great program and a great challenge. They're one of the top programs in the country, but it's going to be a good opportunity for us to go play. Their ballpark's a beautiful ballpark, play in that venue, Hopefully it's a nice day, got a good crowd.
After a weekend sweep of Western Carolina, Louisville is 11-0 this season. The Cardinals' pitching staff has compiled an ERA of 2.57. One note from the MLB, Ichiro Suzuki is nearing a return to the Seattle Mariners, who are working to finalize an agreement with the former franchise icon, according to USA Today. The Mariners announced earlier today that outfielder Ben Gamel will miss 4 to 6 weeks with an oblique injury, jeopardizing his availability for opening day and opening up a potential roster spot for the 44-year-old Suzuki. Spring football for the Kentucky football team got started today. After taking about a 2-month break from official on-field activities, coaches will get to work directly with players through 15 practices over the next 5 weeks. Head coach Mark Stoops is pleased with how his team performed on the first day of work.
Good first day. I feel like our team worked extremely hard for 7 weeks. I think we're bigger, we're stronger. I think that's evident. We have some experience in certain positions and inexperienced in others. But overall, a really solid first day. I love their attitude. I love their effort. I think we have an opportunity to do some good things. We have an awful lot of work to do. So we'll see. It's a good starting point.
This year's spring game is Friday, April the 13th. A couple of local football players have been taking part in this year's NFL Combine. KNN's Will Clark has more on that.
Former U of L quarterback Lamar Jackson here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis making his case for being drafted into the league this year. Mike White from Western Kentucky University believes he could be drafted this year as well.
When I went to the Senior Bowl, I kind of got on the ground running, and I showed that I do belong here, and I am one of the more talented passers in this class. I think I can throw the ball and shape the football on the field, whether it's deep passes or fitting it in a tight window.
In Indianapolis, I'm Will Clark.
Finally in sports, some notes from the NFL. Unable to reach a deal on a long-term contract, the Dallas Cowboys have placed the franchise tag on Pro Bowl defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence, guaranteeing him roughly $17 million for 2018. The Oakland Raiders have released Alton Smith 2 days after Smith's alleged involvement in a domestic violence incident. And according to ESPN, the Philadelphia Eagles are fielding calls about potential trades for Super Bowl MVP quarterback Nick Foles. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Season tickets are now available for Eagles softball and baseball. Softball hosts the Morehead State Classic this weekend, and baseball welcomes Jackson State March 13th and 14th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks rose, erasing earlier losses as worries about a potential trade war waned. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 336.7 at 24,874.76. The S&P 500 was up 29.69 at 2720.94, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 72.84 at 7330.71. Utility stocks were the best performing sector. Harley Davidson, which is a closely watched stock amid the tariff news, rose 2.4%, and Caterpillar was also strong today, up 3.25%. Trump appeared to be opening the door for negotiations on tariffs. In a series of tweets this morning, Trump said that tariffs on steel and aluminum will only come off if new and fair NAFTA agreements are signed. And, of course, investors were focused on Mexico City today, as U.S., Mexico, and Canada, or Canadian officials, gathered for the last day of this round of negotiations. Both Canada and Mexico are threatening to retaliate if the U.S. moves forward with its steel and aluminum tariffs. In corporate news, French insurer AXA is buying XL Group for $15.3 billion, or $57.60 a share, in a deal that would create a property and casualty insurance giant. XL shares rose 29% on the back of this news, and they were the best performer in the S&P 500. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.2% at $62.59. Gold was down almost 0.2% at $1,321.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up, with the Stoxx 600 index finishing with a gain of 1%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Nikkei down almost 0.7%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 2.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Boeing, while the worst performer was Nike. In the S&P 500, as mentioned, XL Group was the best performer, along with CF Industries. The worst performers in the S&P 500 were Marriott International and J.B. Hunt Transport. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.34 at $72.19, CSX up $1.34 at $56.38, AEP up $1.32 at $66.50, AK Steel down 11 cents at $5.59, Humana up 78 cents at $2.70.58, and Yum Brands was up 33 cents to finish at $80.62. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
It's a spring tradition. The annual Rowan County Regional Quilt Show will be held at the Moorhead Conference Center on Saturday, March 17th. Registration is from noon to 6 p.m. on Friday, March 16th. Prizes awarded in 8 categories with the theme Every Quilt Tells a Story. Door prizes, raffle, vendors, and classes offered by quilter, designer, and instructor Debbie Maddie. The annual Rowan County Regional Quilt Show at the Moorhead Conference Center, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, March 17th.
And taking one last look at your weather forecast, an 80% chance of showers tonight, mostly after 11 p.m., with lows around 38 degrees. On Tuesday, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 58. Tuesday night, a chance of rain, cloudy with lows around 34 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of snow showers before noon, mostly cloudy with the high near 41. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 49 degrees. In Ashland, it's 50 degrees. In Winchester, 53. Inez, 52. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 51 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, Four Paws for Ability and Moorhead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 6th. Early readers can practice their skills, and the service dogs can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesday, March 13th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Every donor will receive a free t-shirt.
The Moorhead Writing Project will hold a writer's retreat from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, March 24th at the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. Participants are encouraged to bring photos, memorabilia, and artifacts that relate to their family stories. Open to all writers in the community, the cost is $50. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, Chaz Jenkins, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment came today from WMKY's own Peyton Stewart. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.